Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Let's grab our seats. Good morning. Just want to reiterate what Nat said. Benny, great job on the with the sticks, mate. Thank you. It's great to have so many talented people in our church, and we appreciate the variety of talents we have. And it's just great that there are people that are willing to have the courage to step up and express them. So it takes a lot of guts to do what he did this morning. He hasn't drummed for a while publicly, so I reckon he did a fantastic job. Well done, Benny. Good work, mate. Hopefully you will inspire and encourage others to get off their keister and have a crack. So that would be good. How are we this morning? Good. It's great to have you in church. It is a lot of talk around this being our new space, and obviously it is. And this morning, I really wanted to take this opportunity to emphasize the whole faithfulness and gratefulness thing. The only reason that we are here today is because of God's faithfulness. Last week, we made no apology about making the whole weekend all about Jesus, as it should be, and as it should be every weekend for that matter. But last weekend, our first services in here, we just intentionally, deliberately, didn't make much reference at all to our facility or building because we just wanted to have our first services, the focus and the center point of all of that, to be totally focused on Jesus. And it was a very moving weekend and a significant weekend for us as a church family. And thank you for being here last weekend for those that were. And if you weren't, you certainly don't want to rub it in, but you missed out. And we're glad you're here today, though. And it's an opportunity for us to celebrate in a small way what God's done. And so over the coming weeks, we're going to be doing elements of that, particularly culminating on May the 6th for our launch service. So speaking of celebrations, Nat and I celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary, which is pretty scary. I know I don't look that old. It's okay. It's all good. But, you know, it's just amazing to reflect and think, oh, my gosh, where's the time gone? And, you know, we are very blessed with two beautiful girls, Ruby and April, and just had so many crazy experiences in our 22 years together. And I cannot but thank the Lord enough for his faithfulness and goodness and kindness and patience and tolerance with us. And so, you know, I just really wanted to honor the Lord in that 22 years is pretty cool. But in our wedding service, one of the songs that I always said I was going to have at our wedding was an old school song. Some of you may never have heard of it, but it's "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And I've just got the words up on the screen that you can have a look at. And it's, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be." And then the chorus, which is great. Everybody sing it now. "Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, Your mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." And then verses 2 and 3 are these ones. "Summer, winter, springtime, harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature with manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love." Then you sing the chorus and then back to verse 3. "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside." And we chose that as a couple because we were singing that over what we had experienced about God's faithfulness to that point, but it was also a prophetic declaration and a grabbing hold of God's promise to be faithful to us and to, but by His grace, the family, which we're now blessed with, to have. And so I am the recipient, the benefactor I have experienced, and I stand testimony today to the faithfulness of God. And I know there are so many other people in the life of our church that could stand with me and join with me in that great song of singing and declaring, "Great is Thy faithfulness." Isn't it always amazing that you get through and endure so-called hardship, you get on the flip side of that, and you still can go, "Oh, wow." As Jacinta said this morning, I can actually see where he was this week, last year. I can see that. I don't maybe not see it at the time, but I certainly come out the other side and can see that, and I can then again yet testify to, "Great is Thy faithfulness." And this morning, I know that we as a church are only here in this space because of his faithfulness. And I don't know about you, but we are grateful because we are recipients of his faithfulness. We show gratitude and thanks, or we say thanks, or we're grateful because someone else has done something for us or that we are the recipients of. And so we end up with this feeling or showing appreciation for something that we've received. And so this morning we declare and we thank God for his faithfulness, and so we can sit or stand here this morning and we can be grateful. So for me, they go hand in hand. And this morning, I think if we were just to stop for just a brief moment, just personally, individually, we could just sit and we could go, my God is so faithful. I have so much to be grateful for. But as a church, let me remind you, and if you need reminding, just look around you. Just take note of the sensory receptors sending messages from your gluteus maximus to your brain of how comfortable you are right now. To go, there are very comfy chairs you're sitting on right now, and it's only because of God's faithfulness. I mean, come on, church, we could be sitting on garden plastic chairs. Nothing wrong with that, because that's how we started as a church. We could be sitting on those dreaded grey plastic chairs out there, and after 15 minutes, you've got a numb bum, and it's like not comfortable at all. But we're sitting on comfy chairs. We're in a space that's got lights. We've got it in a space that, you know, some may or may not like the decor, the paint color, whatever. It's not about that. The fact is we have this amazing space that God has blessed us with. So this morning, I want to remind us today, and I want you to go away with this just reverberating in your mind and brain and even throughout this week to meditate on this. God was, is, and will be faithful. God was, is, and will be faithful. So when I say that, God was, is, and will be, what do you say?
Faithful.
God was, is, and
will be.
Amen. He will be. So this morning, we know for a fact, I could stand up and I could reel off just literally hundreds of verses and illustrations and examples from Scripture that outline and emphasize and remind us of God's faithfulness. And, I want you to help me this morning. So if you had to think of the word faithful, what are some synonyms that you would use for the word faithful? Crickets. Okay, I'll give you time to think about it. Come on. What other words would you use for faithful? Sorry?
Dependable.
Trustworthy. Loyal, consistent, reliable, steadfast, committed. Has somebody just Googled like synonyms for faithful? Is that what? Yeah, I'm going, hang on a second. I mean, we got smart people in this church, but seriously. I got to give it to you. That's fair enough. Because I'm looking at my list and I'm going, hang on a sec. I'm almost in order here. Pick one in the middle. You're right. You know, there's a whole bunch of synonyms for the word faithful. Loyal, constant, true, devoted. If we're Australians, true blue, true-hearted, unswerving, unwavering, staunch, steadfast, dedicated, committed, trusted, trusty, trustworthy, dependable, reliable. But I like what just a little sentence out of Matthew Henry's commentary says. It means full of faith, trustful, and not just simply trustworthy. That's good. I like that. Trustful. And we've decided as a church, we have declared that we will have faith in our God. We have faith in our God. He's our God. We're his people. And we've desired to say, God, we trust you, but we want to be a people, God, that you can trust. So we declare our trust and our faith in God, but we're saying, God, over the last 3 or 4 years, we've prayed when we've gathered together, God, I pray you would find us a people that are trustworthy, that we are a people that you could trust with your presence, with your power, with your anointing, with your gifts, with your provision, with your resource, with souls, with discipleship, with seeing your kingdom extended, that we would be a community of faith that you would find to be trustworthy. Now, this morning, I want to take us on a bit of a journey. So If you know the Compass story, maybe this will encourage you. I hope it does. I hope it kind of maybe reminds you of a few of the highlights of our time as a church of 10 and a half years of being in existence that God, we planted and pioneered back in 2007. But it was in 2006 that God started to stir something in my Nat's heart that we couldn't quite understand at the time. And God started to bring things back to our remembrance. Some of the words that had been prophetically spoken over our lives up until that point, God was bringing back to our lives. We were facilitating a young adults conference and a prophetic word was given to us that God kind of brought back to my memory, and there was just a whole bunch of circumstance. Who knows that sometimes circumstance will take us to a point of decision because we're too distracted or we're being too loyal to the wrong thing instead of actually listening to what God wants us to commit to. So we have misguided loyalty. That's not a bad thing, but sometimes we can be loyal to our own detriment, and God has to use circumstance to get our attention so he can actually put us where he wants us to be. And sometimes if you're like that, like for me, I hold loyalty as such a high value. Sometimes I've noticed in my life, God has actually had to shake me up through circumstance around me to get me so kind of like unsettled with where I was at, so I'd actually listen to what he was trying to say to me. And so it was through at the end of 2006 that God started to speak, and he started to bring things and new prophetic words and different things into our lives that started to kind of scare us a little bit, because there was a fresh dream. There was a fresh kind of vision of what the future was going to hold. There was something new that was stirring in our hearts, and we still hadn't quite kind of worked out what that was. But who knows that God's not the author of confusion? And then when you're not sure, all you have to do is actually ask, okay, God, what are you actually saying? Hey, God, can you please explain? Because the good news is he will. So in 2007, after being a youth pastor, Nat and I were youth pastors for 7 years at a church in the eastern suburbs, and then we moved as associate pastors to a church in Bayside, and we were there for nearly 5 years, that we decided to step off of P&O Fairstar, the fun ship, and get into a dinghy. It was like a little tinny. So you come off this big church and all the comforts, and anyone that had any sense of logic or rationale would not get off that sense of security and step onto just a little dinghy and sail out into a very stormy ocean. But sometimes we actually just have to have the courage to step up and step out. And I have a conviction to live by faith. And if I believe strongly enough that God speaks and says, this is what I want you to do, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter. Because if God calls us to us, he'll provide us with everything that we need if we're willing to take that step of faith. And some of you in this room need to hear that this morning. And you need to get out of your comfort zone and get into your courage zone and start to live by faith, because you're actually living a lesser life than what God's actually got for you. And I make no apology for challenging you this morning. I don't want a church of comfortable Christians. Got very quiet in here. I love that. But you know, we started to gather in 2007 in Michael and Holly's lounge room, because that was at Burke Crescent. We got a picture of the house up there, and because they had the biggest lounge room out of all of us, and we did actually sit on plastic garden chairs, and they happened to don't put plastic garden chairs on floorboards because the legs splay and snap and people fall flat on their butts because chairs break. But And I'd love to say it was the power of God, but it wasn't. It was just nothing to do with their weight either. It was just the chairs broke, and unfortunately, that's just the way it was. But, you know, we were just there gathering, and we were starting to dream and starting to talk about. There was eight of us that had decided that, you know what, let's just gather together and start to have meals and chat about and read the book of Acts and just see what does the New Testament say about the church, and how were the disciples and the New Testament church relying upon the Holy Spirit that they had and not the scriptures they didn't have, because they were living and out the scriptures, and they were dependent upon the Holy Spirit to give them the direction to do something that had never been done before. And so we're going, well, God, if you've done it back then we believe you still want to do it today. Because his church is his primary expression of himself to the world. I believe that. The local church should be the most powerful, beautiful, vibrant expression of God to the community. And so we're going, God, what is it? And I don't know about you, sometimes it's really good to know what you don't want as much as what you do want. And so we were talking about things of, hey, look, you know, maybe church could be like this. And we didn't know why, because we didn't call ourselves a church. It was just sort of getting together and hanging out and eating food and talking and dreaming and stuff. But people started to come and hang out. The lounge room got too small. So after several months, Nat and one of the other girls started to look for a venue. And they looked at so many, but the council wouldn't hire out venues on a consistent basis because they needed to be kept free for the broader community. So we were a bit stuck Have you ever felt stuck? Good news, God has an answer when you're stuck. So we went away and we decided to pray. Over a June long weekend as a team, we went away and we prayed and we were just going, God, if this is in your plan, we believe it is, then you've got a venue for us. So that was the June long weekend. So on Tuesday, June the 12th, I was working at the gym as a personal trainer, and one of the other guys had a client, and that client said to him, hey, what are you guys doing about that church thing? This guy's not a Christian. And so my mate said, look, well, we're thinking about this. We actually saw a venue yesterday, and we took a look at the Glen Ira Town Hall, but the problem is there's only a group of about 15 of us that were committed to actually starting a church at that point, and they wanted $550 a week for the actual rent of the facility. And we said, well, that's a big commitment for such a small group of people, and we're just going, well, it's got everything we need. It's got the theaterette, and it's got rooms for kids and that sort of stuff. It's perfect, but the money factor. And this guy just looked at my friend and he said, listen, you guys are great. You're going to do a great job. I'll give you a check for $6,500 that will pay for the first 3 months of rent for your church, but I'm not coming to your beep, beep, beep church. So on the Monday, the following week, he walks up to me. He gives me a check for $6,500. He goes, Phil, you're a good bloke, and I believe you guys are going to do a great job, but I'm not coming to your church. I went, no worries. You're always welcome, but thank you. And it was kind of like, okay, I think maybe God's trying to tell us something here. And then I went to speak at a youth camp, and the guys that facilitated the youth camp were kind of like owned a horse float business, and they were kind of moved by the conversations. I didn't know what they did, but at the end of the camp, they just simply said, Phil, we believe in what you guys want to do, and we want to give you a fully waterproof, lockable, enclosed trailer for you to bump in and bump out. Now, probably about $3,500-$4,000's worth that they just gave to us, that we used for the several years of the church until we actually moved to McKinnon and got our own space of storage. And we've actually now lent that to somebody else who's a church planter, and they're using it as well, which is really cool. And then Sean, who's on the pull-up banner that Matt Nat mentioned, who's now in Indonesia. So speak to Helen after the service, not Sean, because he won't talk back. But just Sean was in the hospitality industry, and he sort of was negotiating new contracts for his cafe for coffee. And he said to the coffee providers, if you want my business, you have to provide my church with a coffee machine and a coffee cart. And somebody did. So that coffee machine and that coffee cart is a result of that. And so we're kind of just going, you know, we really didn't have to ask the question, is God in this? Because you've got coffee, right? You with me? And we've got some cash, which always helps. So we started on October the 7th, 2007. We had our first meeting. You know, and some people have actually said to me, Phil, where did the name Compass come from? I mean, that's a really interesting question. Something I've kind of like dismissed, but maybe this little short clip will explain. So there you go. If you didn't know, now you know. That's how Compass came about. And so we had our first service October 7th, 2007, which is now 10 and a half years ago. And I know some of you in this room were there and have been on the entire journey, journey with us. And for that, we are very, very grateful as well. And I think, you know, we've evolved and grown as a church. And I think over time, probably took at least the first 3 years for us to, you know, sort of like start to get comfortable in the skin that Compass was and has become, and trying to work out who we really are meant to be, and being comfortable in the expression of faith and a faith community that God was calling us to be. And obviously our mission statements evolved to what it is today, that we're called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure life-changing truth of Jesus, you know, that we are very much about, just want to present an uncomplicated, uncontaminated gospel message. The message can never change, but the methodology and how we communicate that has to. And we want to be that irreligious yet respectful family, committed followers, a believer, that people can come in and see a community of faith in action with consistency. And, you know, our desire over the years just to see people genuinely saved, coming into that life-changing, life-transforming relationship with Jesus that can come from no other way. There's no one else under heaven. There's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ. And many of us in this room have that personal relationship with Jesus, and sometimes we take it for granted. And we have this immense, constant source of joy and peace and strength and wisdom and courage and love that we carry with us everywhere that people are desperately craving, and that's something that we desire, that everybody within this community, this city and cities around the world would come to know and experience. Is anyone with me on that? You know, we desire to maintain a kingdom heart. We've always tried to maintain a kingdom heart, that we would rather our actions do the speaking rather than words. We'd rather under-promise and over-deliver. There's a lot of talk about being kingdom-minded, but I think that if you hang around long enough, you would hopefully see very clearly that as a church, our actions reflect what we believe is being kingdom-minded. And so our first service was on October 7th, as I've mentioned, and it was great. It was fantastic. And then, you know, the following weeks after your launch service, you know, you have, you know, full house, all that kind of thing, and it's really, really exciting. And then we pretty much wanted to put on our website, you know, Melbourne's fastest declining church, because, you know, you kind of like it's just got less numbers every week until it kind of just balanced out. And we sort of like just had this core of people that decided to go, hey, we're in with you guys. And again, there's quite a few people in this room that were there and have been a part of that from the first year or two. And some of the things that I struggle with the word values and culture, I think, when it comes to corporate speak, if you like. And I know there's a place for it and they have a reason. But I think sometimes when it comes to a faith-based community, there are things that happen that make us who we are that it's hard to articulate and put into words. So I call those things the intangibles. And what we've tried to do a little bit, just like that clip that you just saw, what we've been trying to do is actually more so tell a story about who we are that communicates one of the intangibles that we think make us who we are. So I just want to give you a snapshot of two of the things that we think make us a little bit unique. Check this out. So we've done a series of those kind of little short video clips that try to express the intangibles. And so from 2007, we started to grow slowly. And, you know, there's some of those core things that we've held to. And one of the core things that we've held to throughout the time is desiring to have a heart of generosity, that it was pretty much throughout the first 5 to 6 years of our church, we were operating on giving away 30 to 32% of our annual income. And so as a household budget, if you decide to give 30 to 32% away, think about how you'd kind of manage that. But as a church, that was our conviction. And our deep conviction was that if we remained true to a sense of generosity in what God was calling us to, and we were obedient to that, that when it came time for God to come through with, you know, for us to have our own building and for God to do something, the miracle would happen. That we just had such a deep conviction about that. So what we sit in here today is a result of a lot of people faithfully sowing 8, 9, 10 years ago. So church, I guess what I'm saying is like we've got to remember that what we're sowing today is going to actually determine the harvest that we reach in the future. So like we're sowing today for an impact into this community, this city and the nations of the world that will be far bigger than what we could ever dare to dream or imagine today, because we want to continue and remain to be generous in all that we do today. But we're only here today because of the generosity of those that have gone before us. Some of you are actually in this room. You know, some of that generosity was, when we talk about being kingdom-minded, for us it was important that in terms of giving away, we had the month of generosity, all the tithes, offerings, giving that comes in June, we gave away. So Carnegie Church of Christ, we refurbished their kitchen so they could continue their feeding program. We enabled them to get a new van that they could pick up food for their feeding program. We purchased a new van for the Fijian church so they could facilitate a feeding program throughout Elwood and St. Kilda every weekend, you know, 150, 200 meals a weekend. We helped people that were in need, individuals in need. We supported other charities that we felt were in alignment with our values and things like that. And so over the years, we just sowed and sowed. And I had people ask me, Phil, where's the building fund? And I'm just going, we don't have one. And they're going, but you need one. And I'm like, no, we don't. But that doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense. When does faith make sense? And if it makes sense, is it faith? I don't know. I'll leave that with you to work that one out. And when you do, let me know. But we just felt with this deep conviction, I'm not saying it's for everyone, but just for us as a leadership, we had that deep conviction that if we remained in a spirit of generosity and we would give away what God instructed us to, when the time came, that God would come through. And I want to encourage people in this room this morning that you are still believing for that breakthrough. I can promise you, according to God's word, that He is faithful. God was, is, and will be. God was, is, and will be. Not just for Compass Church, but for you. See, one of the things that we've been talking about as a leadership team is that it would be so disappointing and frustrating as a pastor if we, as those that are committed to Compass Church, if we don't sit back and actually take time to reflect and process what God's done for us and not actually go, God, what is it that you're calling me to step out in faith in? You'll be missing a significant growth opportunity. Don't just think that what has transpired around you is only for Compass Church. God's maybe used that to get your attention to go, hey, kiddo, I can do this for you. I want to do this for you. Man, it's quiet in here this morning. Maybe it's just the building. But anyway, we started to outgrow that theatre, that picture that you see there. And so we decided to, as a leadership group, we decided, okay, let's look for a new building. We couldn't get the main hall at the Glen Ira Town Hall because they didn't want to rent that out every week. And so we had to look elsewhere. And so as a bit of a surprise, in Feb 2011, we surprised a church and we put everyone on buses and we took them to McKinnon Secondary College to the theatrette and we had a service there saying, this is going to be our new home. And it was around this time as well that we felt that we needed some office space. So we started leasing office space on Centre Road. It was just a small little tiny office. We'd had a tiny room that was probably about a 20th the size of this stage, just a little hovel of a corner that was our office and admin area for Compass Church. And we decided to lease out space on Centre Road because we had the attitude as a church that we didn't want to actually have a large auditorium and particularly debt if the auditorium was only being used for 4 or 5 hours on a Sunday and then just sat empty for the rest of the week. We didn't think that was being wise stewards with the finance. We'd rather give that money away than pay the bank's interest. You with me? Okay, so we decided to lease space on Centre Road, and that was, we were in there for about 4 years and moved to our last offices in March 2015. And so that lasted what was meant to be 12 months, two and a bit years. So that was a blessing. But we transitioned as a church from Glen Ira Town Hall to McKinnon Secondary College, and we started to meet on the 3rd of April 2011. So we've just passed that anniversary date. On the 3rd of April 2011, we had our first service in the theatre at McKinnon. And but by the grace of God, we just started to see God bless us in different ways. And there was the need to grow programs, and we got involved with Malawi and were able to purchase land there. We set up and started the schools tour, which now impacts literally tens of thousands of students a year, as well as in Indonesia and Fiji. God has blessed that. Been able to, but by the grace of God, do the generosity of giving throughout that time, which we praise God for. We continue to grow, and we felt like the next step of faith was to move out of the theatre and move into the main hall of McKinnon, which we did, which we felt was a really good move for us and gave us plenty of room to grow. We've seen, more importantly, we've seen some amazing people come and make Compass Church home. And we've seen people that I mentioned walking past Compass or driving past Compass, dropping in, just going, what kind of crazy church am I coming into? And thank you, Jesus, that they're still coming today. You know, we've seen people, we've seen babies born, we've seen dedications, we've seen people meet as being part of a setup team and get engaged and get married. We've got like baby dedications, we've got people getting water baptized in the life of our church over that time. And our God was, is, and will be. Because towards the end of 2016, we're getting towards the end here, people, but towards the end of 2016, God started to stir my heart to believe for a building. The first time ever that thought had even crossed my mind. Now, keep in mind that, you know, God brings pretty amazing people into your world to actually stretch your thinking and to challenge your thinking. We all need people that are actually going to tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. You with me? We don't always like being told what we need to hear. We just want people to tickle our ears and to make us feel warm and fuzzy. But sometimes we need real friends that will tell us we've got something stuck between our teeth. Gee, tough crowd this morning. Oh my gosh. Anyway. Oh man, I'm having fun. I don't care. I'm just, yeah, God's faithful. So faithful. But as a board, we were challenged, and I didn't know he was going to be here this morning, but he's going to be embarrassed for me for saying this, but I make no apology. But a very good, long-standing friend of Nat and ours, John Dwight's here this morning, who we asked to come and consult to us as a board, and did an incredible job of just challenging us as a board and getting us to think and to step out. And personally, our conversations stretched me and helped us, certainly as a church as a whole. And so just want to honour John here this morning. Thank you, John, very much. And so we, you know, as a, yeah. So as a board, we met January 2017 and we had a conversation which was a significant shifting point for us as a board, because I had this kind of stirring in my heart and I'd shared it. But, you know, we've got a good, robust board. People aren't wallflowers and they aren't just yes people. I don't want to have a board around me of just yes people and just going, Phil, you're the greatest and that's a great idea to everything I say. Like, that's just not healthy at all. So we've got some pretty strong people on our board, and so we had great discussion on this Saturday. But what I noticed in our conversation over that Saturday is they started to ask questions. They weren't questioning me, they were asking questions, and we were conversing and we were starting to speak words of faith and future and destiny for the life of our church. The conversation went in a way of speaking about a building, and I guess they weren't questioning my conviction or whether I'd heard from God, but something started to stir within me as the conversation went by that I just gone, I've got no doubt in my mind this is God. And something like moved and shifted within me and within us as a board. And from that day on, I can guarantee you that I stand here today and I thank God that throughout the whole process to where we stand today, we have a board that is united and committed to taking steps of faith and to seeing God come through where it does not make sense and the dollars don't add up, but that doesn't matter because our God's bigger than all of that. He was, is, and will be. That's right. And so we as a board kind of like started this and we presented it to you as a church. And so what's our response whenever we're hit with a challenge as a church? We go to prayer. And so people started to pray. Phil's losing his mind. He's making these ridiculous statements because if Phil puts his stuff out there and it doesn't happen, then he's going to have to resign. No one said that, but that's what I thought. I was like, I don't know if you remember, I said, you know what, it's out there now, you can't take those words back. You know, it's not like you can press rewind and go back and take the words back. They're out there, and it's just like, now this is a test of leadership. And I just went, thank you, Jesus. If it doesn't work, I'm out of here. No, just kidding. But people prayed, and we kind of like, we'd moved to the old Combank, and we're in the upper room, called it the upper room, where people prayed every Friday, down in the foyer as a staff, and people in the back room, in the meeting rooms, we're just praying, and we're speaking out that which is not as if it were. We had no idea about this space even was up for lease, and we're praying, God, we thank you for our building. We thank you that we've got a place where people will come and encounter the presence of God, and souls will get saved, and people will get healed, people are going to get fed, and people are going to find purpose, and lives are going to be transformed, and we speak out this place, and it's going to be cool and it's going to be excellent. It's going to be done well and the community is going to use this space. And we're speaking all this stuff out and praying it out, that which is not as if it's were. And some of us need to keep doing that. Some of us in our circumstances need to speak to our mountains and say, you might think you're big, but my God's bigger. And the mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord, because we are the carriers of the presence of the Lord. So that thing's got to go. So you've got to speak to those things in your situation, even if you don't see it. We didn't have money in the bank. We didn't have any signs of properties. We put ourselves on the real estate hot list and all that. Nothing was coming up. We're looking at properties that were maximum, maybe kind of like for the whole thing, 1,000 square meters, but no parking. You'd have to demolish two buildings, spend millions of dollars on a build, no parking. You'd have issues with neighbors and noise complaints and restrictions. How cool is it that these guys can play loud and we don't have neighbors complaining yet? Do you understand? Like, so many churches, so jealous of asphalt.
That's right. Yeah.
Parking.
Yeah.
We've got, we can grow.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that, but we can grow.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh. So the church went to prayer. And then, of course, you know, I kind of put this stuff out there to the church. And what does the senior pastor do? Goes on sabbatical for 2 months.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm just throw this hand grenade and then I'm out of here. Yep, great. Michael loves a challenge and he loved it. So 2 weeks after I go on sabbatical, I don't know if you know this, but we got the eviction notice.
Yeah.
Michael was so good not to tell me any of this stuff while I'm on sabbatical. It's just, you know. So 2 weeks after I go on sabbatical, like, we're told, okay, you guys have to be out of here in August. This is last year, people. We still didn't even know this building existed. So what do we do? Go to prayer. Even more fervently. Can I encourage you and thank you for your prayers? Thank you for your prayers. Our God was, is, and will be. So I get back from sabbatical and it's like, oh, Phil, yep, a couple of things to catch up on. By the way, we've got to be out of the offices in a couple of months. All right, sorry. What? Great, looks like God's fast-tracking this whole process of us finding a building. We still didn't know about this building. So we start kind of looking and there's nothing, and the school's tour's in May, so we just didn't have literally time to start seriously looking. So it was June that we started to look. And so we had our first visit to the space here on Tuesday, June the 20th. And we walk down North Drive to meet the guys, and I thought we're going over that side where there's 4,000 square metres up for lease, but they start walking this way. I go, mate, we're going the wrong way. He goes, no, this is it. And it wasn't on the real estate alerts or anything. They bring us up and the whole space, this whole floor around us is 10,000 square metres, and they show us the, you know, the space next door, which is like, you know, 4,500 square metres. There's 2,300 there and it's about 1,500 that we've got here and stuff. I don't know if that's the mass, but it all up, it comes to 10,000 anyway, whatever. But like, we're just walking through and just going, oh my gosh, why didn't we know about this place? Don't you know that God's timing's perfect? Yeah, right. So this place had now been empty for well over 14 months. So every day, every week, every month that goes by, it gets better and better for us. And the longer every day that it goes by that that space next door is empty, it gets better and better for us because we've got room to move. I can't wait to knock this back wall out and just go that way. Come on, people. Some of you are looking at me going, serious? We just got in here. You don't want to know what's inside my head, people. I will tell you. I don't need to hear anything from you either, Troy. So Tuesday the 20th, and then on the Saturday we jump back and have another look again, and then between the 24th of June and in July, negotiations occurred. And I can only but say, none of us as a board or in this church are smart enough or good enough to negotiate the outcome that we got. Let me make that abundant. There is, I use the word miracle. And if I had a better word than miracle, I would use it. But I have a poor grasp of the English language, so miracle's all I got, people. But it is a miracle. We had Nari, who has a 20-year-old relationship with the CEO, owner of this, one of the partners who own this whole property, who sets up a personal meeting so we don't have to deal with agents. We've got a guy that's come on as the whole facilities manager that's reconnected with his faith and says, Phil, I want you guys in here. That just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. I could go on, sitting in the meetings and saying, they're literally gifting us 1,100 metres, and I'm praying, and I've got this real uncomfortable feeling saying, that's not enough space for us. I've got to sit down with the guy, and he's offering us a ridiculous, ridiculous deal. And I sit there and I go, Alan, we shouldn't even be having this conversation. I shouldn't even be at this table. Thank you for your generosity, but there's not enough space. He goes, are you kidding me? He goes, this is the worst negotiation ever. Every time I talk to you, Phil, you get more space, I get less money. How does that work? And I said, Alan, all I will say to you is this, and I've shared this with you. I said, the day will come where I will sit with you and you're going to be able to see without a shadow of doubt your bottom line. There's going to be a significant shift from the time. If we sign this heads of agreement, I'm telling you, it's nothing to do with us, but you are being generous to God's people. And if you do that, you watch. Fast track, up until just before Christmas, he himself told me, he said, Phil, since you guys signed the heads of agreement in October, September, the vacancy rates here have never been so low. And that's only happened because you guys have come in here. He acknowledged that. That's God, people. He was, is, and will be. Was, is, and will be. All right, we're getting somewhere. Let's fast track this a little bit. So Saturday, August the 12th, we meet as a board because we don't have a heads of agreement arranged. But the next morning, we'd actually organised for all of us to come into this space. Remember that? August 13th, we came in here. We're going, we don't even know if we can actually financially commit to this. We meet as a board, and one of the significant questions was, one of the guys just said, Phil, all we need to know is, do you honestly believe with all your heart that this is our home? And I was kind of like, man, no pressure. But there was just no doubt in my mind. I said, it doesn't make sense, guys. These numbers don't add up. But this is our home. This is our home. They said, it's done then. It's done. And these guys committed to making this happen. So we got our heads of agreement signed. We had that service the next morning. And that was just seriously a step of faith, people. You have no idea how much of a step of faith that was. So here we are. We've gone through a whole process of fitting out. 1st of September, the lease took effect. demolition could start. We got some work started, and one thing led to another. But just to wrap this up, I'd probably better to show it in pictures, I think. So if you haven't been a part of seeing what's happened and transpired and what this space was like, then I'd just like a few minutes of your time. So why don't you just have a look and see how this place was transformed. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. He was, he is, and he will be. He was, he is, he will be. You've got to go away with that today, because here we are because of his faithfulness. And as your pastor, on behalf of Nat, myself, thank you to the board, but also on behalf of the board as well, thank you for your faithfulness. My last bit of exciting news that I want to share with you this morning is that we kept making that bold declaration that we're going to come into this space debt-free. So we had our first service last Friday, and during the week, the weekend before, we were $30,000. That's what the gap was. Over that weekend, $4,200 came in. And then what we're able to do, and I've got to commend the guys on this, that they had an incredibly tight budget with the sound and AV equipment and everything like that, but they just got some ridiculous deals where they're able to save some money in the budget, which left the gap of about $20,000. And somebody rang on Wednesday and asked what the gap was. And they said, well, if that's what the gap is, consider it done. And so we moved in here last Friday debt-free. Praise you, Jesus. But it gets better. It gets better. It gets better. Let me tell you why it gets better. I was jumping out of my skin, and everything in me wanted to say something last weekend, but we decided that it was just all about Jesus and said that we're going to share some good news. So that's the good news. But I didn't see the next bit that was coming, because on Monday, Easter Monday, I got a phone call from our project manager, who was dealing with the building inspector, who had had conversations with the fire guys around what our requirements were. And there's been a lot of changes in the fire regulations. And on Monday, I got a phone call that I was kind of like, really? Because I got told that we have to install a system that would cost us $12,500. And I was like, hang on a minute. Dear Jesus, no. Because we're debt-free. No. And it was one of those ones where it's like, and I'm like, oh man. So, you know, a problem shared is a problem halved. So Ian and Michael soon found out, so I could share that. And the board then found out. And so that was Monday. And on Tuesday, somebody actually deposited $16,000, and the description was to be debt-free. And they had no idea. They had no idea. So let me just recap, because obviously you're not getting this. We were $30,000. By the end of the week, we were debt-free. But then we were $12,500 in debt, but now we're debt-free. How good's that? So as a church, that is just mind-blowing, guys. That is just mind-blowing. So he was, he is, will be faithful. But again, as your pastor, can I say thank you for your faithfulness, for your generosity, your sacrificial giving, your hours of labor. I know there are people that, you know, couldn't give financially, but you gave time, so much of your time into sowing into. And, you know, as Michael and I have said, you know, we kind of had tapped out a few months ago on our favors with mates and personally and all that stuff. The only thing we could do is work from 7 a.m. till midnight. That's all we could do, you know, and that's just what we could do. And so many other people just have been so, so faithful, and people have just done what they could. And not everybody could come and work long hours and different things, but everyone has done what they could so that we could actually be here today. And we today declare God's faithfulness. And we're going to sing that song, Grateful, the worship team. I hope you know now, but would love to do that song if possible. And we're going to sing Grateful. Because of his faithfulness, today, church, we can be grateful. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.